Let's talk about fun things to do when it's really cold. When most people would not go outside, there are fun things that are happening outside.
When it gets dramatically cold.
Like below zero cold.
Yeah, and then it's exciting.
It's exciting. Yeah, it's exciting. I read in a book written by a guy who'd spent a couple years in Russia, actually in Siberia. One of the first things, little jokes that was played on him, was the Siberians kept the vodka bottle out on the balcony, outside. Hmm. Keep it cold, of course. Well, it kept it really cold. It was like 40 below zero or something. And they brought the bottle in, and they set it down in a little puddle of water on the table. Set it down, picked it up, and the water came with it. It had flash frozen.
Wow.
This puddle of water.
Yeah,
and then they, that's how cold it is here in Siberia.
A little party trick.
A little party trick. Exactly. It definitely was a party trick.
Wow. So you can do it with your Perrier bottle, except it'll freeze. It has to be something with ethanol in it.
Right. So you don't want your bottle exploding on your balcony.
Wow. Good excuse to have a vodka bottle in the house.
It's a scientific experiment. A demonstration.
Well, my favorite one is to make hot water explode outside when it's really, really cold. It has to be below zero.
Mm-hmm.
And you take...
And the water should be hot?
Yeah, it has to be really, really hot water, not regular cold water or anything. But the best thing is there's a little coffee shop at the Paul Smith College campus. So I go in there and get a coffee. When it's really cold, I go up and say, could I just have a cup of tea water with nothing in it? Okay. And then you go outside and they have big glassed-in walls there. So everybody in the cafe says, what is he doing? And then you go outside and you fling the contents of the cup, not straight up, but at about a 45-degree angle.
Like you would if you were throwing out the remainder of your coffee?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So you fling it out. It arches out, and immediately this huge cloud of steam erupts on this thing. It looks like a cannon went off, and it actually makes a little bit of a roaring sound.
Really?
And it's big, like a cup of tea water would make a cloud bigger than a human would be. And it's this giant dramatic thing, and everybody walking towards you sort of ducks for cover because
sure.
they don't know what it is. And then the little droplets fall. And
so does the water freeze before it hits the ground?
It's a nice folk myth, but it's anytime I've looked, it's still liquid, but it freezes quick. So it's basically that it's water vapor instantly condensing because it's so cold. It doesn't have any time to do it slowly, and it's stuff that would have been there anyway if you did it in the summertime, let's say.
I mean, the vapor's there, you just don't see it.
You just don't see it. So here it's just instantly everything in that thing is visible. So there, it depends on your philosophy of life. You can either embrace winter or try to hide from it, and hiding from it around here doesn't work very well.
I'm in the embrace winter category,
yeah.
I like going out when it's so cold that we were skiing the other day, and it was brilliantly clear. And really cold, it was about 20 below, and the air was sparkling.
Mm.
Little ice crystals, I guess.
Yeah. Just freeze-drying the atmosphere, basically. It's probably the same principle. And those are usually little columnar ice crystals, not the six-sided snowflakey things. But
little columns, you mean.
Yeah, and actually that's happening at high altitudes all the time. That's what those big wispy cirrus clouds or mare's tails are. It's just these little tiny ice crystals making up the clouds way up high, too. It's just, in this case, it'd be low.
Is that what ice fog is?
It'd be the same thing, right. And I love seeing that. Actually, I walk past the lake on the way to work in the morning, and when it's 10 below, 20 below, you can walk along the edge of the lake where it's usually a little bit melted, maybe from being in contact with the warm ground there. And so there's a little bit of steam coming out of the frigid lake water, and it makes these little crystals too. And then they accumulate on anything sticking out like branches or weeds.
Well, you see that a lot in the first, few really cold mornings before the ditches have frozen and the ponds have frozen, and there'll be all this beautiful rime on every single twig will be sparkling and beautiful.
Yeah, and it's the same thing you have if you're like me and you have facial hair. It happens when you exhale and it's really cold, too. It accumulates around your mustache.
You become like Sergeant Preston of the Yukon there. Yeah.
So actually, a lot of my friends and I all have our personal body thermometers like that, too, to kind of estimate what the temperature is. And my own personal one is if it's 0 degrees Fahrenheit and below, the snow will squeak when you walk on it. So you can sort of hear what the temperature is when you're walking on it. And then if it's below zero, your nose hairs freeze if you breathe through your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed last time it was really cold, about 30 below, is you cough.
You can't breathe out there.
You can't breathe out there. It goes into your lungs and starts to freeze them. So you can watch people coming out of buildings. They step outside and they cough once or twice.
And then they release water vapor, which is visible.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Dr. Kurt Steger of Paul Smith College. I'm Martha Foley.
Natural Selections is produced by North Country Public Radio with natural sounds by Ted Mack. The program is underwritten by the Glenn and Carol Pearsall Adirondack Foundation, dedicated to improving the quality of life for year-round residents of the Adirondack Park. www.pearsallfoundation.org. And Paul Smith's, the College of the Adirondacks, 800-421-2605.